Mr. Funding Measure goes to the White House.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A bill that would appropriate $106 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is headed to President Barack Obama for his signature. It passed the Senate yesterday 91-5. To some senators' dismay, the package includes money for foreign aid, the flu pandemic, and the Cash for Clunkers program that aims to get people into more fuel-efficient cars. Of course, Uncle Sam has to find the money to pay for those programs, even if it means borrowing it. It's no secret that the U.S. has done a lot of that. And that makes for a whole heck of a lot of red ink. Well, the federal government is willing to deal on more than $100 billion worth of it next week. The U.S. is madly selling treasuries to bring in much-needed cash. But raising so much dough isn't without its consequences. Here's Marketplace's Bob Moon.
All those IOUs are stacking up sky high, as investment manager Axel Merck sees it.
According to our calculations, Treasury has to issue about $15 billion every single business day until the end of the year.
Now imagine Uncle Sam rushing over to another window to buy those bonds back. Why? Because all that government borrowing is pushing interest rates higher.
The government wants to issue a lot of debt. On the other hand, the Federal Reserve wants to have low interest rates so the economy gets moving. Now, in our view, just mathematically, it is extremely difficult to work, and the Federal Reserve should allow interest rates to go higher. Having said that, that may throw the economy into a tailspin.
Especially if mortgage rates creep higher, but Merck says there aren't many options left for controlling interest rates.
What they're trying to do is to keep them low mostly by talking.
He worries, though, how long this can go on before the market stops buying the reassurances. The Fed, he says, is not almighty. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
By the way, Monday, Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan will tell us about the difference a year makes in long-term treasuries. A little buoyancy on Wall Street. Yesterday, the S&P 500 and Dow gained under 1%. The Nasdaq mainly flat yesterday, and all signs point to a higher open today. European shares are mostly up right now. London up nearly 2%. The DAX in Germany, mainly flat. In Asia, stocks closed higher. Texas billionaire Alan Stanford is expected in federal court this morning, expected to face charges in an $8 billion Ponzi scheme he surrendered to authorities in the D.C. area yesterday. The new iPhone 3GS goes on sale today, but the economic climate is so different today than it was when the 3G came out, and even the first generation before that. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports iPhone is trying to be a lot of things to a lot of people.
With consumers cutting back, Apple hopes to break into the business world, a world dominated by BlackBerries. Here's Apple's Greg Joswick.
iPhone 3GS now has hardware encryption, which was a big request for businesses.
And to keep consumers lining up at Apple stores, the phone's price will stay at $199 if you're willing to sign a two-year contract with AT&T. The new phone can shoot video, and Joswick says its speed will be noticeable.
What people will be amazed about is even browsing the web is faster on the same exact network.
That network, AT&T, has drawn complaints for its spotty service. But Roger Kay at Endpoint Technology says that doesn't appear to be taking a bite out of Apple's sales.
It's the value of the available services. And in this particular case, the services are all of these applications that you can get either for free or for very cheap.
And in case you're wondering, 1 billion of those applications have been downloaded since the App Store's launch just a year ago. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Leave it to the military guy to talk about the political importance of social networking. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates says the use of Facebook and Twitter to get news from Iran sends a message to authoritarian governments. He says it's getting tougher for them to control the modes of communication available to citizens. Gates says no matter how hard they might try, they simply can't clamp down on everything.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
There's that old negative connotation about museums, that they're old and musty and boring. But nowadays, there's a positive one. Cheap. And that's giving museums a boost in this downward economy. From WBUR in Boston, Kurt Nickisch reports.
The Harvard Museum of Natural History is about as old school as they come. Brick building, tall ceilings, and lots of dead animals in glass cases.
Look at that big mouse, Mom. And look at flying squirrels.
Allison and Leanna Cameron are here with their mom, Mary. She brought them here not only for the stuffed rodents, she wanted to keep her pocketbook stuffed.
We did come on Wednesday afternoon because it's free to get in from 3 to 5. It certainly was a factor.
Cameron is part of a growing number of people searching out museums lately for their low cost, even with admission. After all, the average entry fee nationwide is $7 a head. Elizabeth Werby runs this Harvard Museum and says the number of visitors here is up 10% so far this year.
Because people recognize museums are a value in this economy. They find inspiration, education, and fun for a relatively low price, and we're happy to provide that.
And this is a trend that's happening nationally. The American Association of Museums has been happy to see a boost in attendance after years of declines, especially now when many museum endowments have plummeted. That's what happened to the Whaling Museum in New Bedford, Massachusetts.
This first one is a humpback. The next one, do you know what this one is? This is the largest.
Tours are fuller this year with 8% more visitors. The Whaling Museum is trying to ride that wave to improve its finances. Here's Vice President Kristen Sneezek.
We decided to take a risk and offer free admission not only to our students, but also to family members that live in the New Bedford area. And we were packed. It worked quite well.
Gift store sales were up $3,000 during the promotion, but Sneezek is gambling on a bigger payback. She's hoping those families will come back again soon, maybe join as members, make a donation, possibly rent the place out for a special event. She says that's where the real revenue is for museums. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
Stuffed rodents? Hey, we don't care. Share your museum memories with us inside our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.